Blog Talk Radio.
Alfine could not make it tonight, but she will be here soon. How are you doing tonight, Cynthia?
Oh, I'm blessed, and you?
The same here. I can't ask for anything better. I'm just glad to finally be able to get online here, you know. Man, we depend on this internet thing, you know. You know, it can throw things off, whatever the case may be. Needless to say, how have you been?
Oh, really good. Everything is cool.
Good,
can't
good.
Complain.
Went
to go see Star Wars again.
Well,
no,
you know,
no.
Tonight we're going to have Miss Yorley Huff on the air tonight.
Yes.
Know, I don't know if you're familiar with her work, but she does Superhero Huff. She also wrote her own book. I think it's called Underneath the Veil. I think I can't really remember right offhand. But she's going to be on in a few seconds, and we're going to go right in because we're a little delayed tonight. So I'm going to lock her in right now as we speak.
Yes.
Hello, Miss Yorley Huff. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you both?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm glad you could make it. You know what I mean? I'm glad you could come on
absolutely.
The show. You know, I was looking forward to this. As always,
anything,
I'm always looking forward to something
you,
new
Dre?
From Yorley Huff. Repeat that again.
I say anything for you.
Hey, I appreciate that, you know. But I knew that, you know, tonight would be a perfect night to have you on there. I'm on here. I'm sorry that it's a little delay, because it was actually supposed to get started maybe 10 minutes ago. But for some reason, my system was stalling out, or Blog Talk was stalling out on me. It showed that there was
that's okay.
Episode, but now we have the episode. We're on and we're good. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Ms. Huff.
Well, I am the creator and founder of Engendering Strength, which is a corporation that houses my comic book and cartoon enterprise, Superhero Huff, as well as my autobiography entitled The Veil of Victory. The entire enterprise is based off my true life story. I'm a former undercover drug agent in Chicago, and I was discriminated against. I got evidence against my employer and filed a complaint internally, and in turn they threatened to kill me. I had to go to the FBI to get my charges approved with EEOC, and after an 11-year legal battle, I won.
Man, that, you know, when it comes to suing the city and things of that nature, it does take a while.
Especially in Chicago. I'm from Chicago too, Yorley. Nice to meet you. And I can hey, how you doing, girl?
What part
ain't
of the
like
Chi-Town?
I'm from the south side of Chicago.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, so I remember I was just reading a little bit about your story, and I could just imagine, because, like, you know, it's such a good old boys club here. You know, it's all about who you know in Chicago, you know, and the, like, the political machine is so
corrupt.
Just like the corruption is, it's just so, and it's systemic, and it's like deeply ingrained for years and years and years, and even for you to stick it out for 11 years and actually beat the system, that's to be commended.
Thank you.
You know, they say Chicago is one of the most corrupt cities there is in the United States. How true is that?
And don't you ever doubt it.
No, you ain't lying.
I don't doubt it, but I think all the cities are corrupt. You know, we just don't hear as much about some of the other cities as we do of Chicago. But needless to say, you know, I'm glad that you were able to win your case, and I'm glad that you were able to start, you know, Engendering Strip Comics with Yorley Huff, because that's how you and I met, was through, you know, you doing Superhero Huff. And I'm trying to think, did we meet at the Black Age in Chicago, or was it C2E2, Wizard World?
Which
one of those shows?
C2E2.
C2E2?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know that must have been it, because I haven't done Wizard World myself in Lord knows I don't know how long. C2E2 just sent me something just today asking me about urban style comics. I guess they want to see if I'm willing to participate this year. But I think it's kind of last minute. What do you think? Because is the show next month or the month after?
It's in April.
It's in March or April? I thought it was in March.
Or April.
Yeah. So
I haven't the exact date, but it's coming up. It's usually in around that time of March or April.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Tell us about Superhero Huff, the character, you know, herself. You know, how did she get her powers, and, you know, how does she apply her powers, and what, you know, brings her into the mode of being Superhero Huff, where she has to handle her business?
So, Superhero Huff is the animation of my character from the book The Veil of Victory. And so she is a no-nonsense, high-tech, social media savvy, undercover drug agent with the dossier, the Department of Special Investigations. And so the dossier is a unit of naturally gifted agents who have a wide variety of supernatural powers, but each of them are not supposed to know the other's powers. And so Superhero Huff is on her life's journey and realizes that she has these supernatural powers. And there's a group of elders that are that have been aware of her since birth, but have been alerted to her in the opening of book one when she had to use her powers in a drug deal that went bad.
Yeah, I remember that.
So her powers are the vortex. She can mind read. She can teleport, telecommute. She can transform so far, but the elders are waiting to turn over an entire universe to her once they are assured by watching her that she understands that her powers are for service and for service of others and not for herself.
Wow. Wow.
Cool.
That's pretty deep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with you having the elders in there, you know, that's key to the story, you know, because the elders
mm-hmm.
are basically the ones that are going to dictate, you know, her direction for the most part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As far as the choices that she's going to make, I'm assuming.
Right. But the entire concept is representative of my life.
Right.
True in, true out. So as I've realized and looked over my life experiences, I've always had the elders, my grandparents, to watch over me and lead me and guide me. So they, in fact,
mm-hmm.
are my elders. And so
right.
as I've journeyed on my path and realized, I've come to understand that I've had to go through the things and the experiences that I've had to go through, the opportunities that have been presented for others, for service, not for
mm-hmm.
me.
Right. Basically yeah. being more or less selfless, you know,
exactly.
and make sure that everyone else is taken care of, those that are in front of you. That's the
right.
Mm-hmm.
So Superhero Huff just represents that in a different media, and I try to do a variety of different presentations of my true life story because everyone learns differently. And so you have
correct.
To put it where people can get it and receive it and understand it. So it's made manifest in many different avenues, many different forms. The Veil of Victory, Superhero Huff comic book, the clothing line, the activewear, the fragrances, the jewelry, on and on and on.
Right.
You just have a plethora of things.
Yes, she does.
I have a question. I have
yeah.
a question for you, Yearly. So there is a lot of different vehicles that you could have used to actually tell your story, which you already did when you wrote your book, The Veil of Victory. So why did you choose to use comics as a way to kind of be a conduit to kind of tell your story? What really inspired you to use that particular medium?
Well, just to verify what I just said, The Veil of Victory I wrote because I wanted to pitch for a movie deal. So I'm working the feature film for that. And then
mm-hmm.
through Divine Intervention, actually I was in corporate and catching the train every morning downtown Chicago, riding my bike. This
mm-hmm.
one white gentleman purchased my book. And him and his wife read it to each other. So he came to me one morning about 5 o'clock, and he said, you know they have comics, right? And I looked at him, and I was in meditation with God, like fighting, like, when are you going to let this go? When are you going to release this? You know, you gave me all of this. When are you going to make it happen? And so on and so forth. So I looked at him like, what the heck? So he showed me the Red Eye, which is a newspaper here, and he said, the comic
mm-hmm.
book convention is in town. You should take your book down there and let them make a comic book and cartoon of your character. And I looked at him, and the only thing I can say to him was that, do you know what divine intervention you just spoke?
Mm-hmm.
And so he just smiled and walked away. And so my meditation quickly changed from when are you going to release it and let it go to, okay, if this is what you want me to do, then send me who I need. And exactly that happened. Everyone, the illustrator, the colorist, everyone just manifested shortly thereafter. And so that's how I got into the comic book and the cartoon realm, because I was a cartoon, I'm a cartoon person myself. Now, I was aware of comic books, but I really didn't read them.
Like, what type
you were more like the visual. You were more like a visual type person, like as far as like, you know, like that particular world. I mean, because like you had the ones who like read comics, like the printed paper and things of that nature, and then of course they have like comics that turn into film, television shows, cartoons, etc. So you were the more like visual type person for that. So who was growing up? Who was like your favorite superhero?
Oh, I like Tom and Jerry and Scooby-Doo and Underdog and the good cartoons.
We know none of those influenced. None of those influenced superhero Huff. We do know that.
No, absolutely not. That's why
so
he's based on me.
Those were the cartoons that you grew up on. That were Tom and Jerry's.
Fat Albert.
Fat Albert, right. Yeah, I remember all those.
Yeah.
Fat Albert used to come on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, the
Smurf,
in the morning time.
Underdog,
Right, Underdog.
So
now,
I watched all those cartoons.
Had you ever got into any superheroes when you were young?
No.
Nope.
Never.
Because that's what I wanted to know as well, you know, because the way you developed Superhero Huff into the mystical character that she is, you know, it would seem that you had really gotten into, like, you know, superhero or the science fiction genre in some form or fashion, and that's what also helped you out with your story. You know,
Just the influence of not letting anything in the universe stop me from being determined to do what it is that I need to do. That's it.
Okay.
And all the rest is divine intervention.
Right.
All the rest is divine intervention.
Yeah, I mean, it's a running theme with, like, the majority of, like, comic book creators that we've spoken to and that we've interacted with, that they kind of grew up, you know, in a particular realm as far as, like, they were really into science fiction or they were really into comics or, you know, they were just really part of that world or what you like to call right now the nerd world. Is that right, Andre?
Right, correct.
Yeah. But, I mean, but with you, it was more like this is, like, something, it was like more like an outside force. Per se, well, you know, divine intervention in your particular case that really kind of drove you into this particular world to create your character. So that's that's really cool. That's really cool.
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, because I think about me and you know, my comics or whatever. I know I was heavily influenced by, you know, Marvel, a little DC, you know, all those different universes. As well as, you know, some of the brothers that were doing comics back then, and they're still doing them now, some of them. You know, so that was my biggest influence. Kind of made it easy for me to get into, you know, writing and drawing the comics initially.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in your case, you know, it's straight up, like you say, it's divine intervention for a person that wasn't really into that genre to actually put out, you know, the type of material that you put out in comic format.
Oh, my.
You know, I find that quite interesting or whatever. Now, how are you received at most of the conventions that you go to?
All superhero love is loved all over the world. Much love.
Yeah,
they
every
look
time
for
I see you, you know, you have people at the table all the time. Every time I see you, it's like
yeah.
People are excited.
She's developed quite a fan base, quite a fan base. And they're always coming to look for what I'm doing, what's new, what do you have
what's
new,
next?
What are you into now, what's next, where are you going to take this, where are you going? So there's never a dull moment.
most definitely not. Most definitely
not. What inspires
not.
Your storyline? Like, you know, what do you usually pull from? I mean, like, I understand that you pull from your life, but, like, really what helps you as far as, like, developing the next story when you're writing for Superhero House?
Well, it's really just a great team. And then I have 5 years of undercover experience. So a little bit of truth and a lot of fiction goes a long way. And what better way to get into the comic book world is to tell about undercover drug operations.
Right. Mm.
So, and also being able to tie into that the real life experiences, because Superhero Huff was created to motivate, enlighten, empower, and encourage our youth, especially our black and brown young girls. Mm. So to be able to mix both of those together makes for a great storyline each and every time.
Nice.
Wow.
I also read. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andre.
I was gonna say. Now you know. You don't know. I was gonna say. Yearly, Miss Cynthia. She writes as well. She writes a comic as well, right?
Yes,
so,
I do.
And she got some work that's going to be coming out in the near future, within the next 2 months, I think it is.
Yep.
All right, well, let's get it going.
Right. And I like to see, you know, more ladies in this genre or whatever. That's a good deal, even though it's dominated by us or whatever, no doubt. But,
we're sneaking in, Andre.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you bring a very powerful story, you know, in Superhero Huff. So that's why you're able to, get it in. And everybody, you know, like you say, your fan base is getting bigger, and they're appreciating what you're doing because of the fact that you can tie it into, you know, your real-life situation. People really appreciate that. They like a lot of, they like when people can relate their own experiences into their characters. It allows them to last much longer, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. And they've never met a real life superhero either, so.
Not at all. And then you're willing to go out there and tell them that, you know, you were a former undercover drug agent.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people, you know, they wouldn't even share that information.
Well, if they did, they would have to kill you.
That's part and parcel of the entire movement. You know, we live in such a time and age where you have to take a stand no matter what. You have to be prepared to fight, to take a stand, because if you don't fight and stand for yourself, then definitely, for sure, no one else will.
Not at all.
So I also read that you were into motivational speaking. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. Part of the Engendering Strength Enterprise is I do mentoring programs, I do boot camps, I do entrepreneur boot camps and motivational speaking. And so what I like to do, and what I call that part of the organization, is an empowerment specialist. Hmm. So, again, having the ability to relate with people where they are and have an understanding. I have such a wide, varied background. I come from K-Town on the west side in the ghetto, and I saw growing up anything and everything under the sun, only to grow up to
get paid to be, to intervene in the very things that I grew up around. Like, oh, you're going to pay me to do this? Sure, I can do this. No problem. So for people to look at me, to see me, and then hear my testimony of all that I've experienced and all that I've gone through is just motivation within itself because, you know, I didn't drug out, I didn't drink out, I didn't, you know, take any negative routes, but they're able to see a real live, living witness of what you can overcome and still be in your right mind, be productive, be positive, and be of service to others. So oftentimes, especially, well, all age groups that I interact with, they're just like, oh my God, you just so, you just motivate me. I just want to go out and do this and do that. And I was concerned and I was afraid. And now I know if you can go through this, then there's nothing that I can't do. And so the motivational speaking allows people to look at what some would call an extreme circumstance and experience, which I call an opportunity, and say, if this can be possible for her, then I know that there is nothing that I can't do, which in fact is true in life. You just have to believe it.
Well,
cool.
I'm motivated now just listening to that.
Yeah. I know. I feel like I can take over the world.
And you can. Let's get those books out. Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
It's all good.
Yes.
So
where have some of them? I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to know, like, because, like, I think I read that you were able to even travel abroad, being able to speak and influence others. Where have you been?
I did a book tour in South Africa. So while I was over there, I went to Mpumalanga, Soweto, South Africa, Venda, and I think that was it. But much like here, the people over there, they experience the same oppression and deprivation and deception. And so just for that country coming out of apartheid, and to see still the same families that ruled in apartheid are still in charge now without apartheid. And it is just, you know, you have to change your thinking. And so it was enlightenment and empowerment and encouragement for me to go there and take my story, which probably would have ended, definitely would have ended up for me over there in death, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Not just death threat here, but, you know, that that was probably an assurity that would have happened there. Then to share with the people there on another level and be able to make that connection and inspire and empower them was just something that was just mind-blowing. Some things that actions or thoughts or habits that they never even thought of. To be able to free their minds, to be able to understand that they have a right to fight for themselves, to be able to stand upright. The strangest thing happened to me when I was over there. My sponsor, we went in this store, like in the mall, just like a regular mall. And I'm standing at the front door, just standing there, and this white lady comes up to me and she says, "Are you store security?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, why are you just standing in a stance of authority? I just thought you were store security." I said, "Oh, okay."
Oh, wow.
So just to, you know, just the body positioning, the gestures, the stance, you know, that resounds loudly over there because they were under an oppressive condition, an oppressive state where,
right.
you know, you didn't stand with a stance of authority or as if you were doing something substantial. It was just crazy. Like, what do you mean?
So they have a 60s feel about them over there, even after apartheid. Meaning
just
it's like
not in the aesthetics, not visually, not okay. in the way that they live. It's very Americanized, but mm-hmm. the undertones on it, the political oppression, the economic deprivation, the same things that blacks experience here in America, but just mm-hmm. on a different level. Where you see the areas, the richer areas where the affluent whites were, there it's all gated up. And now mm-hmm. you have more blacks mixed in there and, you know, certain areas, the gates have come down mm-hmm. once where they weren't allowed to go or live.
Mm.
You
well,
know,
it's
a real lifestyle. Yeah, it's just crazy, the mental and the psychological oppression.
Mm. Well, apartheid wasn't that long ago, you know. Like,
no,
it wasn't.
But the whites that are there, now that it's gone, mm-hmm. they mad as hell that it's gone. And they try to act like, you know, it's still existing for those who
mm-hmm.
have the mentality to allow it to exist. Which
right.
is conducive of the lady coming to me asking me, you know, am I store security? Because I'm standing at the front door. Just, I didn't notice or feel like I was standing in a position of authority or whatever, but your body language speaks, your confidence speaks and
mm-hmm.
resounds. And so that's
right.
not something that they're used to seeing
it's
a black
true.
Person
yeah.
have those vibes or have those. You know, those body postures. And it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you talking about?
Well, I've always been an advocate of saying that once you change your mind, you change your life. You know,
absolutely.
Oftentimes, like, yeah, and oftentimes, like, the way that you think, you know, like, so a man thinketh, so is he, you know. So
exactly.
if I'm thinking that if I'm a person that has influence, that I am a person of authority, that I walk in authority, and that, you know, I don't necessarily wait on anyone else to determine what my life is going to be. I'm the one who's going to determine my destiny. You know, then that's something that's going to exude anywhere that you go, you know. And so,
right.
and I know that.
But it is
you know,
a rarity. It is a rarity,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. I mean,
because how many people,
too, but, you know.
How many people read that? And know the word and know that, but still not act it out and not believe it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So it is
yeah.
It's a small majority that, you know, needs to increase. And so
mm-hmm.
that's what
oh, yeah.
Superhero
sure.
Hub serves to do, and that's what I serve to do.
Mm.
To let people know that life is going to happen, but you need to be prepared. Because
right.
sometimes, you know, being just the mere fact that you're unprepared will take you off your square. It will put you
mm-hmm.
light years behind. But if
mm-hmm.
you're prepared, you're able to stand and weather the storm. And that doesn't mean that, you know, it won't be okay.
Right.
That success or victory isn't there for you. It's just that you have to fight to get there. And you have to have the determination
exactly.
and sustaining power to get to the other side, whatever that might be, because you determine
mm-hmm.
what your victory and what your success is. It's not defined by anyone else.
Right.
Well, now let me ask, how were you received over there in the sense of with your book? How did they receive it?
Oh, it was well received. The scholars and the professors, they loved it. And it was just, you know, refreshing, you know, to have someone come from America with the story that I have, again, looking the way that I don't look all warmed over and, you know, slicing, you know, like
right.
I've been through a storm. It's
right.
just like, hey, how you doing? Let's get this. Let me tell you about this. Let me show you some things that you can do.
So you basically didn't go over there looking
sanity.
Like the image that they have of blacks in America. You didn't look like that, the image they had.
No. No.
Or especially blacks from Chicago.
Oh, no.
You know,
no,
they just say,
believe it or not, there is an entire population of Chicagoans and U.S. citizens that have moved over there and living well.
Wow.
Living very well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Oh, that's one of my next stops, South Africa. So I have to go for
another time. You got to go. You got to go. You gotta go.
I hear so much about it myself. I usually hear a lot about it. I want to go there myself. There, Ghana. I want to be able to go throughout Africa myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you gotta go.
North,
it's a wonderful
south,
experience.
East,
yeah.
Very nice.
You know, maybe if I get this Powerball tonight, maybe I can make that happen in a few days.
Oh man! You failed for the okie doke. Come on now.
Yeah. I figure that $2 is not gonna help. It's not gonna hurt me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
I bought into the pool at my job because actually when you mentioned the Red Eyes, I actually work for the Tribune. So, we put in the pool at the office for the Powerball, and all of us said now if our number hits, nobody is going to be at work tomorrow.
Right.
No, nobody. Oh, goodness. So they said this because I remember I was talking to somebody else that was in a different office, and they did the same thing there. They said, well, now, if you try to call tomorrow and our number hits, you know there ain't nobody going to be here 3 minutes of the phone, right? And I said, well, we feel the same way. So we'll see what happens.
Right. But the most power in that Powerball is to win and to go back to work.
The power is to get the Powerball, and then you can take that invest it in yourself and work the work that you want to
work. Right.
Yeah.
Then
you doing what you're passionate about, you know, not necessarily
exactly.
because you're like, I got to go to work so I can pay my bills.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
I can't see.
Now, there
so
you go.
What's next for Yorley Huff, Superhero Huff, and everything, you know, and also let us know how people can contact you and get access to your products as well.
Yes.
Okay, so what's next is an activewear line, a full activewear line, leggings, dresses, workout gear, T-shirts, uniforms, all specialty, custom. And also, it's not only curtailed to Superhero Huff gear, it's custom designs, custom uniforms for those people who want to stop fighting with their employees about wearing their uniform. Let's get them some gear. You create some gear, and they'll wear it for life. So that's the latest thing on the press is the activewear line. We'll be specializing in athletic wear for those sports teams and those athletes who need some specialized gear on their back. They can fly with Superhero Huff gear. And we're finishing up book 4. of the four book series, and then we're getting closer to the final prototype for the action figures. So we'll have toys out soon. And then we will be moving on to create the Superhero Huff world, where she's going to have a team of female counterparts all over the entire world. So we're creating Superhero Huff universe.
Wow. So you're going to get your own Superhero Huff Justice League, kind of.
Exactly.
Cool.
Have agency of heroes just everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
That's awesome.
So we got the Kurds being attacked overseas. We got a superhero over there that reaches out for all of the superheroes, and we come from all over the world to submerge on the land and create peace and harmony. We got the girls being kidnapped in Africa. We go and unite and find them. And rectify the wrongs there and restore and heal over there and, you know, child labor, anything that comes up that is an injustice against humanity, Superhero Huff will be able to defeat it and tackle it and overcome it and restore and give peace and empowerment to the land.
That's awesome. I see why you won the Woman of the Top of Her Game by American Time Out for Youth.
Yeah.
In 2011. Yeah, I can see why you won that. That's awesome. I love that.
Thank you. It's all about service.
I must say, Ms. Huff, you are an awesome individual, as you already know that.
Don't tell nobody. We just keep it to the us. Don't tell nobody.
Needs to know that.
I know now too. I know too, and I'm going to tell other people that. Hey, guess what? She's awesome.
Thank you. Well, welcome to the movement.
You got the dope T-shirts or whatever, you know. Tell us more about, you know, the T-shirt line and where they can get your T-shirts from as well.
Well, you can get the T-shirts on superherohuff.com. Also on the website, we have license plates, parking signs, light switch covers. We'll be coming out with bed linen and shower curtains. And you can redo your entire home in Superhero Huff gear or custom gear of your choice.
Oh, wow.
So our activewear line, we specialize in special athletic materials. They're dry wick materials, so they are geared towards the individuals who want to keep cool while they work out. So the dry wick wicks the sweat away from your body and keeps you cool. We have microbial materials that we'll be dealing with. And so all of the specialty gear would be available on superherohuff.com. And soon we'll be able to do custom gear. So if you guys wanted dreadlocks or Cynthia, your character, on your line of shirts, we will be the official T-shirt specialist for the comic book industry, offering sublimation and bringing your characters to life, taking them to another level.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I'll be interested in doing something like that with dreadlocks for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love getting out there.
The character that actually I'm working with, her name is Madame Amora, Knight of the Round Table. So I especially like that whole activewear because I'm a gym rat myself, so I love to work out.
Yeah, and, you got to take the empowerment with you.
Yeah. Well, it's also nice, too, like when, you know, people, you know, make you mad, you can work out so that you can, you know, get out your frustration, especially on the punching bag.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. Yes, cool. So, yeah, we will be in touch.
Yeah, so superherohub.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can get the comic books and the Veil of Victory on Amazon.com. And just reach out for us. We're taking it to another level, reaching for a new universe.
Awesome.
That's wow. Awesome. So what's going to be your next show?
Yeah. We are going to be at the end of February. I think it's Wizard World in St. Louis.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I'm trying to get out and do some traveling, so I think we're going to go to St. Louis, Cleveland, I think.
Right, that's around.
And then it's, then Wizard World is here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then C2E2, yeah.
So basically you're going to be touring the Midwest for the most part.
Yeah.
I got you. That makes sense.
But if anybody has any shows or anything, reach out, let me know. You request the Superhero Hub to appear?
I'm going to the Black Comics Art Festival in New York this weekend, as a matter of fact.
Oh, nice. Okay. You have to let me know how that
pretty works. Pretty huge. Yeah, it's supposed to be a pretty big thing. So I can't wait to see, you know, how I'm received out there. I got people already emailing me, asking me, am I coming out there? And I told them yes.
It's been a while
since I've been in New York in this sense.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to make it to the show or whatever this week. We're going to have you on here again as well, because there's so much that, you know, we have to talk about. And, you know, because you have a whole...
Absolutely, anytime. I told you anything for you, Dre.
You know, because you got just like a lot going on. You know, you can't cover it in one or two shows. You may have to do three shows, at least.
Well, whatever it takes, you know.
Who knows?
Right.
We aim to get the job done.
Now, next week, you know, hopefully you listen to us next week, but next week we're going to have Arvell Jones on here.
For sure. He did a piece for me, historic piece. I sell a lot of those shirts.
Anything with Arvell's name on it.
The pin-up he did for me.
If
you check out that piece he did for me, imagine that on the shower curtain, man. You coming in the bathroom like a whole nother world. That's scientific for you.
And I think I've seen it on the internet. I think I've seen it.
Yeah. I got it out there.
Nice.
People love it.
Okay.
And that's
history. Want to mention to our listeners as well, Andre, we want to mention that, you know, in order for you to be able to, you know, get reminders, you can always favorite us on Blog Talk Radio, like be able to log in using like either your Google Plus or your Facebook page to log in, and you can favorite us and always get an email every time that we're going to be on live with our next comic book creator. And don't be shy, people out there, call in, join the conversation, ask questions. It's more than welcomed.
We have an open door policy.
Yes, we do.
Well, once again, Yorley, thanks for calling us. We're getting ready to log on off. And
okay, no problem. My pleasure. I enjoyed it.
And we really appreciate you being on the show.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it very much.
All right. Have a good one.
Did we all learn from this one here?
We did. We did. And, you know, I'm really happy because I'm talking to a female creator.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just like on 10 right now. You know that, right?
Right. I know you are. All right. So we look forward to next time. This is the Motor City Black Age Chronicles of the Revolutionary Nerd signing off.